The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the Gospel reading that we have today from St. John, there's a line that we've heard so often that probably we don't think much about it. And St. John the Baptist, standing there with a couple of disciples, he sees Jesus walking past. He looks at him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world." And we hear these words, of course, just before we receive Holy Communion. Words that we might have wondered, now why is it that we say that? So then why is it significant that Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God? The short answer is that the Lamb of God points to the sacrificial dimension of the mission that Jesus has been given by God, his Father. This sacrifice of Jesus ultimately on the cross was prefigured or anticipated by the Passover lambs of the Jews in Egypt the night before their exodus, whose blood was a sign of God's divine protection for his chosen people. And remember, those homes where the blood of the sacrificed lamb was sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels of the house, the angel of death would pass over. And essentially, just like the father of every Jewish family was responsible for obtaining a lamb to be sacrificed at every subsequent Passover, so God, our Father, provided his own Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrificial lamb to save and protect his children, you and me, into eternal life. Let's go back to the Old Testament again, to the book of Genesis for another story. Remember the account of Abraham and young Isaac, Isaac walking with his father toward Mount Moriah, carrying the wood on his shoulders, and then looking at his father Abraham and asking him, "Well, where is the lamb that is about to be sacrificed?" And of course, it was Abraham's intention to follow the Lord's instruction and sacrifice this young son of his. And Abraham at this point replies, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." And God ultimately then intervenes to prevent Abraham from sacrificing his son Isaac. And in Jesus Christ, God has himself provided a sacrificial lamb. The lamb is, in fact, God himself, who would be sacrificed for his entire family. Jesus, the promised one, the only begotten Son, the one upon whom all of God's prophecies and promises rest. And I suppose we can still ask ourselves, now, why? Well, St. Paul tells us that all this is so that you and I could be sanctified, so that you and I could become saints. Everyone who believes in the name of the Lord Jesus and prays to him because he is their Lord. So the bottom line purpose of all of this is that we could become holy. St. John the Baptist tells us that the very reason he was sent to baptize, to give this baptism of repentance, not the sacramental baptism that we have, was to encourage the people to repent. It was so that Jesus, by their repentance, Jesus then could be revealed to Israel. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it was this repentance itself that brought about the revelation of Christ to the people of Israel. And what all this is telling us is that the only way Jesus is going to be revealed to us, the only way you and I are going to understand, the only way we'll be able to truly see him, the only way we'll be able to encounter him in the depths of our hearts is by way of our repentance. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, the blood of the lamb had to be placed on the doorposts and the lintels of the house so that the angel of death would pass over. How is Jesus' blood, the blood of the lamb, applied now to us? Well, whenever we repent of our sins, whether they be big sins or small sins, and especially in the confessional when we repent of our sins, when we are literally washed clean in the blood of the Lamb of God. And of course, if they're smaller sins, we even begin the Mass with our act of confession, in a sense. We begin the Mass by repenting for all those sins that we have committed. But back in the book of Exodus, it was not enough for the people to sacrifice the lamb, and even putting the blood of the lamb on the doorposts was not enough. God also required that they eat the flesh of the lamb. And if they didn't eat the flesh of the lamb, the firstborn son would be dead in the morning. So what does Jesus tell you and me to do? What does Jesus say to us in John chapter 6? And it's this: unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And before we can receive Holy Communion, we must be in a state of grace. We must repent so that we are able to discern the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which we are about to receive. Remember, in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 11, St. Paul tells us that the reason why some have died and many are sick is because they received communion in a state of mortal sin. They received the body and blood of Christ unworthily. They were unable to discern the body and blood of Christ. So the sequence for us in receiving Jesus, the Lamb of God, receiving communion, always begins with repentance, in which we realistically look at how, in various ways, we've separated ourselves from God. Jesus wants to give us his peace, as St. Paul says in our second reading. When he gives us himself, the gift of the Lamb of God is a peace that the world cannot give. And back to the book of Exodus again. The people of Israel had to eat the Passover lamb with their sandals on because they were a people in flight. They were going through a desert, about to go through a desert on their way to the Promised Land. And that's similar to the situation that you and I are in. Our citizenship, as St. Paul tells us, is in heaven. Our citizenship is not here. We are travelers, we're pilgrims, and so we too eat the new Passover meal. We consume the Lamb of God in order to safely pass through the desert of this world to heaven. And what is heaven? The book of Revelation tells us that heaven is the marriage banquet of the Lamb. The Lamb of God in heaven, whose full glory will be revealed, will be our feast forever. And this is the glory that God is giving us. We repent, we need to repent, certainly every day of our sins, so that the Lamb of God will be revealed to us in the depths of our hearts, so that at Mass, when the priest holds up the host and says, in approximately these words, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world," we will discern Jesus Christ. We will understand, we will repent, we will receive him with a pure heart, so that not only will the revelation of the Lamb of God be infused into our hearts, but also the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will fill our souls, and we will be able to enjoy for all eternity the marriage banquet of the Lamb of God. Only Jesus could make that perfect offering of himself on the cross to God the Father. And through his sacrifice, he has given us ears open to obedience. He's made it possible for us to hear the Father's call to holiness. And he's invited us to join our self-sacrifice to his.